Prague has a long history of inspiring visiting writers. The list includes novelists and poets as diverse as George Eliot, Pablo Neruda and Allen Ginsberg. So it seems apt that the City Library has just launched a program inviting writers to spend 2 months absorbing the atmosphere of the city. The first writer in residence was the Australian novelist and essayist Liam Pieper, and last week, just as his stay was drawing to a close, David Vaughan caught up with Liam and the program coordinator Katerina Bayo.
I'm in the library of the city of Prague on Mariánské náměstí, Marian Square, in the heart of the old city, and I'm joined by Katerina Bayo from the library and by the Australian writer Liam Pieper. And the reason why I'm talking to them both is because of an artist in residency program which is just beginning. And Liam is the first writer in residence here in Prague as part of the program. So, Katerina, tell me a little bit about how this program came about.
Municipal Library of Prague is coordinator of Project Prague, City of Literature. And this project, main goal of this project for this year was to create artistic residence in Prague. Prague City of Literature is part of the network of Creative Cities of Literature UNESCO. We are part of this network from last December. And in fact, it's a network of cities which want to promote their authors and their creativity and their cities. In this network are cities like Edinburgh, Dublin, Melbourne, Iowa City, Krakow, and a few more cities.
But mostly in English-speaking countries.
In this moment, it's English-speaking countries, except Prague and Krakow and Heidelberg in Germany. But I think in every year, there are coming some new cities. So maybe next year, there will be some other European cities also.
So tell me a bit about the residency program, the writer's residency program.
Prague City of Literature offer residency program from this October 2015. And in this residency program, we offer 2 months stay in Prague. We pay some stipendium, we pay accommodation and travel costs. We are inviting authors interested about Prague literature, Prague history, or they are working on some project which is connected with Prague and Prague atmosphere or city.
Which is a good moment to turn to Liam Pieper. Tell me more.
Well, I was pleasantly surprised to be offered this residency. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's very hard not to be inspired by Prague because everything is a magical fairy tale.
Have you found the inspiration that you were hoping to?
Absolutely, but in none the ways I intended. I sat down to work straight away, and I burned through a lot of drafts very quickly in my first couple of weeks. I've had some creative blockages along the way, as happens, one of which is the beer here is cheap and wonderful, and in an effort to access the culture of the language I don't speak, I start drinking at lunchtime. And so that has been probably the major impediment to my creativity here. But apart from that, there's a place called the Libri Prohibiti. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, Libri Prohibiti. That's the library of books that were prohibited during the communist period.
I'd love to just kind of going there and seeing all these books that exist, all these banned publications. It gives me a lot of hope that literature can survive even against a tyrannical censorship.
There was a thriving samizdat culture, wasn't there, of books being published illegally, secretly throughout the 70s and 80s. And this library gathers all these publications of many of the best Czech authors who weren't allowed to be published, also translations of authors who weren't allowed to be published in translation from other languages. It is a wonderful library, isn't it?
It really is. And I really do think that samizdat was a key creative force in world literature, because if you force something underground, you don't necessarily kill it. You just make it sneakier. It mutates. And so Czech writers, and writers from all around this part of the world, but I think the Czechs did it better than most, they found ways to get around it. You know, they wrote in metaphor, they wrote in exile, they wrote in secret, they hand wrote, they made facsimiles of things. And that spurs a kind of creativity in response to draconian censorship which then breeds technique and breeds new ways of thinking and new ways of storytelling. Then when the censorship is relented, that is released back into the world, and this kind of underground lab of literary super soldiers is just unleashed onto the world, and these periods of intense creativity can come out of that sort of thing.
There is also a danger, isn't there, of being too nostalgic for the period of the muse of censorship, because, I mean, censorship is censorship, and it had some pretty dire consequences as well.
Absolutely. And it continues to be a problem these days. I mean, luckily, with the internet, it's very hard to censor anything. I mean, look at what happens in modern-day India a lot of the time. You know, it's very, with an increasingly reactive and intelligent, I guess, intelligentsia of people who are connected online, censorship is so much harder to get away with these days.
And I haven't asked you anything about your own background. Given that you're still young, it's very interesting that the book that brought you your greatest success was an autobiography. Normally you expect that to come at the end, but you had a rather unusual upbringing, didn't you?
Yes, I did have I guess I could call it an unconventional upbringing. I grew up in roughly a hippie commune, an alternative sort of echelon in Melbourne, Australia. My parents were very much enthusiasts of the counterculture. And my first book, The Feel Good Hit of the Year, which is currently out through Penguin Australia, kind of explores the adventures I had growing up as the child of pot smoking, kind of free loving, well, not in the swinging sense, but let's say they were very into Van Morrison and Leonard Cohen. These were my key formative influences as a child. And so we left the commune when I was about 10, and I had to reintegrate into civil society in quite a conservative Australia at the time. So I suppose that my upbringing has kind of shaped me as a writer in that I've always felt a little to the side of society. I mean, I think all writers do. We're generally the creepy loner in a corner at parties.
And so in a sense, I can see why you feel an identity with Samizdat here, that you must have been, in a way, in your family, I don't want to abuse the term, but you were, in a sense, dissidents in Australia.
Well, dissidents imply some kind of heroism, which was not true. They were just civilians who happened to enjoy one habit that broke the law, which, you know, these days is, it seems to me, non-controversial. It seems like many, many countries around the world, you know, can smoke a bit of cannabis now and again, and there's no great damage done beyond it might make you kind of dull, you know. My family did face a lot of difficulties, as I recounted in the autobiography, but I think that they wouldn't today. You know, I think that society has evolved a little bit. I'm by no means an evangelist for decriminalization, whatever. But, you know, you look out on the street and you, in Prague here, where pot is decriminalized, I believe, and society has not collapsed.
And you didn't react against your upbringing? You didn't become a member of the Young Conservatives or whatever?
No. I guess the way to rebel would have been to become a corporate lawyer and make a packet of money. But I stayed in a reliably impoverished profession.
It'd be nice for our listeners to get a taste of your writing. You're going to read a little bit from a story which is in your collection, Mistakes Were Made.
Which is a short collection of essays roughly detailing how my life fell apart after I wrote a memoir. This is the opening of an essay called Fame! Exclamation mark, I'm going to live forever. I was famous for a week and a half in the middle of my 30th winter. My book, The Feel-Good Hit of the Year, a memoir about my adventures as a flower child turned teenage miscreant, had just come out, and the media had, in its own modest fashion, gone bananas. It was, in a way, a dream come true. I'd always wanted to be a writer, as far back as I could remember. Before I could write, certainly before I could write well, even before I could read, I would listen to my father read me The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and know that I wanted to be a part of that. Later, I worked my way through the classics, taking wisdom from the library. Every so often I'd find a book that reading felt like beheading a Highlander. I would finish it and know that I'd gained something powerful to see me through life. When I should have been making friends, I was reading Camus. I read Hemingway when I should have been learning how to talk to women. On the Road came along at precisely the wrong moment of my adolescence and fell on me like a daisy cutter, leveling any ambition to lead a life as a valued, productive member of society. From the middle of the canon, I examined the lives of my literary heroes, the syphilitic, alcoholic, and suicidal, but immortal, sociopaths who had raised me and said, yes, give me some of that. That's the life for me. I write in a very Australian vernacular, and it's a very dry tone, which is perhaps a little colloquial at times, or a little stranded down on Prisoner Island in terms of humour. But then I think maybe there's a certain parallel between Australian and Czech humour, in that there's an appreciation for the grimmer things in life that runs through the cultural viewpoint. At least I'd like to hope so.
And during your stay, you've found inspiration here in Prague. So I hope that means that we'll be able to, before long, read something that you've written that's set in Prague or inspired by Prague.
Well, yes, absolutely. I've actually somehow ended up with two stories about Prague that I've been working on. At a certain point, halfway through the manuscripts which I'd come here to write, I realized I was actually writing two stories that needed to exist codependent of each other. One of which is more or less finished and should be out in Australia in June next year, 2016.
What's it about?
What's it about? Well, I don't want to jinx it just yet because it will go through a long process, but it's basically about an Australian family living in Melbourne, Australia, my hometown, whose grandparents came over around the time of the Prague Spring. And without giving too much away, there are atrocities in the past. I was very inspired by this community in Melbourne, which I grew up around. I was friends with the children of these people who had escaped, like political refugees, who had come to Melbourne and started new lives and had terrible things in their past, who had either been the victims of or the prosecutors of atrocities, and just never mentioned it again. And everyone just got on their lives. And I was very interested in what that does to a family. So in a nutshell, that's what this book is about. There's another book which kind of split off halfway through that, which is still in its very rough draft at the moment, but it's about that Samizdat tradition that we were discussing earlier. It's not inspired by Samizdat art, but about the idea of making it. So it's about an artist in exile, a Czech artist in exile, trying to understand a new culture, which is very much me in Prague, really. I have no idea what's happening any of the time. I'm forever on the wrong train. The Kozela's gone to my head. You know, I think it's good for someone who lives almost entirely in their own head to occasionally just be out of their depth completely. And so that has been one wonderful formative experience of my time here in Prague, along with all the inspirational architecture, history, Samizdat and Kozel.
And to finish, Katarzyna, this is the beginning of a program of inviting writers in residence to Prague. Can you tell me a little bit more about what we have to look forward to?
After Liam is leaving now in the end of November, and next author is coming in January. We are really happy that we can continue in this program also in next year. So the first author which is coming to Prague in January is Sarah Perry from Norwich. After we will continue this program, we already speak with author from New Zealand, from Ireland, and we will continue for next year. So we hope we will invite to Prague 6 authors in 2016.
Katarzyna and Liam, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on Radio Prague. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me as part of the City of Literature program.